All right, hey, welcome to the weekly Dropkick. I'm Heath Mulliken, and here's what we're going to be talking about today on the show. First of all, I want to talk about, let me tell you all three things. We're going to be talking about TNA and Pro Wrestling NOAH. We're going to be talking about some of the stuff happening in Ring of Honor. And then we're going to be talking about Elimination Chamber. And if you've got any questions or comments, you can put those in the video. So first of all, let's talk about Impact Wrestling, Pro Wrestling NOAH. For those of you that don't know, 1999, All Japan Pro Wrestling, Giant Baba passed away. He was the founder of that. So out of that, Mitsuhiro Misawa, some other guys formed Pro Wrestling NOAH. And even in the last few years, there's been a lot of things that have happened. There's been some changes in the leadership. And so same thing with Impact. So you got two companies that in the last 6 months have gone through a lot of internal changes, and now they're coming together to work together. So the first instance of that is going to be Pro Wrestling NOAH's Yokohama event March 12th. So as a wrestling fan, I'm very interested in this. Because anytime two companies can work together and make it work, it's a great thing. It's going to help people who watch Impact. It's going to introduce them to some Japanese stars and vice versa. But if they do it correctly, if this partnership works out, it's a win-win for both organizations. So I think this is a really good thing. I also think that this is a huge year for both companies. I know this is going to be a dramatic and obvious statement, a dramatic understatement. This is a big year for both of these companies because they just got to make things work this year. Because if they don't, especially with Impact, you know, how many chances are they going to get? So I'm excited to see how this works out. If you haven't been keeping up with the Broken Hardy stuff, next week on Impact Wrestling, they're going to be wrestling Psychosis and Super Crazy from Mexico. I think that's a brilliant idea what they're doing. I know they just recently won the Omega Tag Team Belts at CWF Mid-Atlantic. Jeff Hardy is going to be taking on Sami Callihan February 19th for PWX at the Cabarrus Arena up in Charlotte. So just a lot of cool things happening. Let me mention TNA last night. I watched it backwards. I started watching it at the end, and then I just rewound it and watched it in the reverse order. I don't really understand the whole Wolves thing. What do I mean by that? Well, David Richards got hurt, and they built Eddie Edwards up to the point where he's the world champion, and he's beaten everybody. So he finally loses the title to Lashley, and last night was his final opportunity, their final match. So David Richards costs him the match, and now they're going into a feud that their wives are involved in. So, I don't know. You take a really good tag team, and it's a good story. I just don't get it. You know, I could see them coming back together, and aha, Wolves. See, Brian's got the inside that it's based on contracts, and Brian would know. Brian's booked those guys before, so. So there we go. And that stinks. That stinks when, you know, contracts come into play and they have to do different things. And, you know, David Richards said last year this was going to be his last year in wrestling. Adam Tucker, I don't like what direction they're going with Eli Drake in TNA. Me personally, I love Eli Drake. I find him entertaining. I find him believable. In a sport where more and more guys don't look like wrestlers. Hey, thanks, Brian. Thanks for jumping on, man. Eli Drake looks like a wrestler. He looks like a wrestler. So I'm all, you know. But we'll see. So speaking of contracts and stuff, so other than that, I thought let me finish my thought. TNA, Impact. I thought the main event was fine for what it was. I thought the Hardys are always great. Some of the other stuff I could give or take. The whole Aaron Rex, that whole gimmick, not coming across too well on TV, in my opinion. So, speaking of contracts, let's move on to Ring of Honor. A lot of things happening there. Last week, Kevin Kelly announced he was leaving. He had just been signed with Don Callis, a.k.a. Cyrus. They're doing commentary for some New Japan shows for the New Japan World, which is awesome. Great decision by New Japan World, not just to get English commentary for some of their monthly shows, but good English commentary. I think Kevin Kelly and Cyrus will be great in that role. Michael Tribble, I missed the pre-2010 TNA. Yes, I think we all do. But here's some other things with Ring of Honor. So you got your number one announcer leaving, and not just your number one announcer. I thought Kevin Kelly did a great job on social media with Facebook videos, talking about the upcoming shows. And so as somebody with Three Count Pro Wrestling, I'm aspiring to be Kevin Kelly as far as how I promote our shows, how I present our wrestlers. I thought he did a phenomenal job with that. So you got him leaving, and the word on the street is that he's pretty much given an ultimatum that if you do this New Japan stuff, you can't work for us, and he basically quit. I've heard also Ring of Honor may use him for some spot shows and different things, that his relationship with them is not over. He's just not working for them full time. Only time will tell. Speaking of other contracts, Kyle O'Reilly right now is in that, I wouldn't say limbo, because he probably knows what he's going to do, but he's not signed with Ring of Honor. He's not signed with anybody, and haven't seen or heard from him in about a month. Kevin Sullivan, who was doing a great job. He showed up at the Best in the World pay-per-view last June that I was able to attend. Could not, the way that they did it, Kevin Sullivan appearing for Ring of Honor, I could not have popped more. So it was absolutely amazing. Word is that he hasn't been booked since December. And word is there's just a lot of things going on backstage. And wrestling is no pun intended, okay? Wrestling is very territorial. Meaning that even within the locker room, everybody's always trying to protect their spot, protect themselves. And so you got somebody like Kevin Sullivan who's in there, who is one of the great wrestling minds of all time. And he was perceived as a threat by many. So he's no longer with the company. Adam Freeman, back to TNA just a little bit. They're not going out of business. They're fine now. TNA is going to be around for a long time. They got an owner that has money now. So there you go. But with Ring of Honor, there's just a lot of, over the last year, it's just been different. And they kind of have their main guys. And there's really no mid-card guys. You got the upper guys, and then you got the lower guys. And Ring of Honor, over such a long period of time, they had people leave. Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, CM Punk. I mean, it's been a kind of a pass-through for a lot of big names. But they've always done a really good job of replacing those talents and developing. Mark, I gave credit before you signed on. I gave credit for the insight. So anyway, for the insight on celibate. But anyway, Ring of Honor is just in a different place. I still enjoy watching them. If they're at a live show within 2 hours of where I live, 3 hours where I live, I go. I don't even question it. Ring of Honor, yes, I'll go to Ring of Honor. They put on great shows. I just saw a question on Lucha Underground. I've watched some Lucha Underground. I liked it. It's different. I'll be hitting it up on Netflix and catching up with it. But Ring of Honor it's a weird situation, and very kind of similar to TNA now, because they're owned by a media company. Ring of Honor is, and so their setup, their corporate setup, their leadership structure, it's completely different. So I'm interested to see over the next 6 months some of the things that play out. I'm interested to see where Kyle O'Reilly goes. I'm interested to see, obviously, people like Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. Many of them have signed deals with Ring of Honor. Like I said, I enjoy their product. I think it's had days where it was better, but it's something that I still enjoy. So let's move on to Elimination Chamber. So let me be perfectly honest. Was not able to catch SmackDown this week. But let's run down the card and we can all talk a bit about this. Mark, any more info on that Seth Rollins, Alberto Del Rio backstage fight you reported on? No. No more information on that. Our source may have been mistaken. So, Sunday night, Elimination Chamber, Luke Harper versus Randy Orton. That's a match we all kind of knew was coming. I think that'd be a good match. I think Luke Harper is so good. I think he is so good. His facial expressions, his work, he's really good. Sorry, I'm having some trouble over here with Periscope. Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler, 2-on-1 handicap match. I have no opinion on that. The week that Dolph turned, the internet was like, yes, yes, finally, Dolph Ziggler. And that's, whatever. Mickey James and Becky Lynch, that's a match they've been billed to. That'll be a good match. I mean, Mickey James is a great competitor to have back. She's a future Hall of Famer, WWE Hall of Famer, in my opinion. And just having her working there, working with the girls, teaching them a lot of things, I think it's going to be good. I think her and Becky are going to have a good match. Which leads me to the SmackDown Women's Championship. We got Alexa Bliss and Naomi. I think Alexa Bliss is, for her size, is absolutely incredible. I think Naomi is improving a lot. Here's the thing. This is what I found surprising. Okay? You got 7 matches announced so far for this card. 7 matches. Three of them are female matches. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. That's just really struck me. The other ladies match is Nikki Bella and Natalya, something they've been building to. And I think this would be the payoff, and then they'll both kind of go in different directions. The hot rumor is that WrestleMania is going to be Nikki Bella and John Cena versus Miz and Maryse, which means that coming out of Elimination Chamber, some things are going to have to be different. Some things are going to have to change for that to even be a storyline. I'm not sure how I feel about that match. I'm not sure how I feel about that rumor. It seems pretty far-fetched, but I've seen it in more than one place, and they probably all got their source for the same thing. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Kieran Mishra. Seth Rollins, the reports this week online were that he would be back for WrestleMania. He's got a torn MCL But it's something he can work through without surgery. That's according to various reports. And when it comes to a knee injury, you just never know. But right now the plan is for him to still work WrestleMania. Sunday night, we got the SmackDown Tag Team Championship Tag Team Turmoil. Yeah, American Alpha, Heath Slater and Rhino, Breezango, Usos, Ascension, and Vault Villains going for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Why is this match happening? I don't have a problem with this match. The only problem, what I have a problem with is they've thrown all these teams in there because they haven't told a story. They haven't set up a feud for anybody. And so when that happens, you're like, oh, we got a pay-per-view. We got to have a tag team title match. Let's just throw everybody in there. Kind of what they'll do with they'll do that with one of the titles at WrestleMania. They'll be like, well, we don't really have a story. We're going to throw a bunch of guys in a ladder match. It's just one of those things. I have no idea who's going to win that match. I'm big on American Alpha. They're really good. Somebody posted in the group about the Ascension. Got a win the other night. It's hard. Making that transition from NXT to the main roster has proven difficult for a lot of people. It's just a hard thing. Daniel with a question. Who do I think Triple H faces at WrestleMania if Rollins isn't able to go? It's not going to be Samoa Joe. Could be Triple H could face Shane. I could see that happening. Do I think they should eventually give Seth Rollins a new finishing move? Michael, as soon as Seth Rollins is done feuding with Triple H and Stephanie, he'll get a new finishing move. The only reason he's using that as his finish was his deal with Triple H. So he'll probably get a new finishing move for that. So let's move on. Championship match. In the Elimination Chamber, you got John Cena, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, Baron Corbin, and Bray Wyatt. The big story, I mean, if you read the rumors, it's Bray Wyatt's coming out of this as champion to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. If you had told me a year ago, hey, the main event at WrestleMania will be Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt for the title, I'd have been like, I would have scratched my head a little bit. It's also, also rumored that at Fastlane, Goldberg wins the Universal title from Kevin Owens. So it's Goldberg and Lesnar for the Universal title at WrestleMania. So who knows, man? Who knows any of this stuff? A lot, some stuff is still up in the air. Like we said before, the injury to Seth Rollins has put a lot of things up in the air. I've been very clear for the last couple of weeks that all the rumors I've heard about WrestleMania, the only one that I have an issue with that I don't want to see is AJ Styles and Shane McMahon. I have no interest in seeing that. I just don't want to see that. So if Rollins is not able to go and they make that Triple H and Shane, I would be fine with that. Do I think Lesnar will interfere to cost Goldberg the title? That's a great question. That's also very possible. Like I said, I who knows what's going to happen? All the dirt sheets try to predict the future. And as you, Mark Whitman, as you have said on our show numerous times, they'll throw 100 things on the wall. And if they're right on one of them, they'll be like, well, see, we got it right. It boosts our credibility, even though they got 99 things wrong. Mark and I think are in agreement. We like how they booked Goldberg and Lesnar, and I think they'll be able to have a good 10 or 12 minute match. When I say good, I mean entertaining. I mean, it's not going to be, it'll be fine. It'll be good. You got two guys who look real, who sound real, going at it. I don't need them to I don't need them to have a high work rate in that match. I just need them to do what they do. And I think they'll work well together. Excellent point, Mark. Goldberg needs a good 15-minute match with Owens so people won't think they're going to sneak it up. I absolutely agree with you. If Goldberg can go with Owens more than 10 minutes, I think it gets people a little more interested in WrestleMania. I think wrestling is different now in the sense that it's obvious to me that if they tried to do today, if Goldberg were here today, and he is, but if he were new, and they did a streak with Goldberg, I think wrestling fans would just crap all over it. I don't get that, because we ate it up 20 years ago. So I don't know. Sometimes I try to think what the fans would want or like to see. You just don't ever know. I think the fans want to feel like they're part of the show. That's why they say everything Enzo and Big Cass say. That's why they sing during the John Cena songs. So the fans want to participate. So how do you make that happen? Now on a local level, I see that places like PWX, I see that. Fans want the front row seats because the guys are coming into the crowd. If guys are coming in, there's going to be dives. And there's typically, Brian can give me a correct count. There's typically 20 to 30 chairs smashed during a PWX show. And the fans like that and they want a chant. Whereas for a promotion in South Carolina, where you're not dealing with necessarily the modern hardcore fan. You're dealing with people more who are into the old school stuff. Plus in South Carolina, you got that barricade. So you can't really go into the crowd in that way. You don't have a crowd that's really going to chant. I don't know that I've been to very few independent shows. Are you going to get a "This Is Awesome" chant? Because the crowd doesn't realize, oh, we're supposed to chant "This Is Awesome." Because at a local show, when you're looking at 100 to 200 people, they're not looking to hijack the show. They're just looking... They're looking to interact in a different way. So they're not looking to repeat what a guy says on his promo. They're looking to look the heel in the eye and tell him that he sucks. And for the heel to respond to them individually. That's what's great about the local promotions, the local shows, is the intimacy of that. And that's what keeps people coming back. Your kids can come up and go to the rail, and you can give a high five to your favorite. You can boo who you want to boo. With the thing with Reigns and Strowman, is Undertaker and Reigns going to happen at WrestleMania? I don't know. I'm fine. I think Mark Whitman said this on our podcast. You want to get Roman Reigns over as a heel, you have him beat Undertaker by cheating. Pulling the tights. You have him do something so dastardly, so unbelievable, so underhanded that he earns the boos, and then he comes out the Monday after WrestleMania and he tells everybody he's going to do whatever it takes to win, and he doesn't care who he offends, and this is his yard now. And then you know what will happen? Everybody will start probably cheering for him. Ridiculous. Jamal, great point. You and I were at a show in Simpsonville, and it was completely different. That show in Lawrence that Battle Zone Wrestling did, over 300 people there. And so I think there's different sizes of a crowd where there's just a different kind of, there's a different energy. If WWE didn't want the fans to rebel and hijack shows, they probably should not have given them a Slammy Award. Yeah, Mark, I think you're right. I think Roman, if he does the hard heel turn, people will start cheering him. It's a crazy, crazy thing. It's a crazy, crazy thing. You know, what do people want? I think at the end of the day, this is just me. People want to believe. All right? They want to believe. They want to be a part of the show. And they want to have a reason to come back. That's the thing with a local show. And that's the thing when I am thinking about wrestling, I'm thinking, what can I do with this show that makes people want to come back? And you go back to the old TV shows, the old wrestling on TV. The matches weren't great, but every week it would end with, oh my goodness, we're out of time, and you didn't know what was happening, and you're like, I gotta tune in next week because they were brawling and I don't know what happened. And so I think you can do that at a local level, and I think Ed, you're exactly right. People do come to escape. It's the same. Wrestling is a form of entertainment, just like people pay money to go to the movies, just like people pay money to go to a football game. People look at wrestling, and I think you got to make it affordable. You got to make it fan friendly and family friendly. I mean, there's some, like for me, there's some shows I would not take my kids to because of the language, because of the gestures. And so those companies, you've lost a whole demographic. And I know there are more, you know, mature, that's an oxymoron in this case, who, you know, everybody wants to go back to the Attitude Era. And I'm like, I don't know. So anyway, we got Elimination Chamber, and then we got Fastlane, and then we got WrestleMania. Which, you know, I'm somewhat excited for. I hate that I'm, you know, not able to go this year. It's pretty close. It's in Orlando. Just one of those things that didn't work out. Hey, is anybody on here? If anybody watching, comment if you're going to WrestleMania. Michael Tribble, yes, long-term storyline thing has seemed to start fading out when Pat Patterson retired. I agree with you. I still go back to a few years ago when Kevin Steen and El Generico had their great feud in Ring of Honor. And Mark Whitman brought this to my attention on our podcast one day. And it's on one of the Kevin Steen DVDs that you can pick up at High Spots. But when he first turned on El Generico, he used a chair. And for the whole year of their feud, they kept incorporating this same chair that had a message on it, it had blood on it. But this chair just kept coming back. And it was like this commitment to the storytelling. Put aside, you know, along with some great matches, along with the emotion of it. And I think that's what people want. They want to be able to, they want to believe, they want to escape, they want to be there and not have to think about their job and not have to think about, I don't think they want to think about is this a good guy or bad guy? I think you got to kind of lead them to the water and you got to make it as simple as possible. And they can, again, they can cheer for who they want to, boo who they want to. Jamal says, I may go down to see some events and possibly curate some content. Jamal's got a podcast, Conversations with the Beard, you need to check out. He interviews a lot of wrestlers here in the Carolinas. Exactly right. Long-term booking never really came back after the hot shotting during Monday Night Wars. People talk about the money. This is just my opinion. people long for the days of the Monday Night Wars. We've got where we are today because of the Monday Night Wars, because of the Attitude Era, in my opinion. So while they were good in their time, again, ECW, great in its time, in a lot of ways has had some negative effects on the show. Why do we have to see 30 finishers in a match? Because they can't shoot them with a gun. Okay? So wrestling's changed. Wrestling's evolved. My goal... my goal in wrestling is for people not have to think too much. What I mean is, you lay it out, you lay the story out in a logical way, good versus evil, and you can take people on a journey. You can take people on an emotional roller coaster, not just at one event, but from one event to this. That's why I'm excited. Three Count Pro Wrestling, first time ever. We February, March, April, May, 4 months in a row. We take the summer off, and then we're running all in the fall: August, September, October, November, December. We've got a great opportunity to tell some of these stories. We've got opportunities through social media that people that miss a show, they can catch up and they can see what's going on. And my goal is not just to put matches up on YouTube, which we got some great competitors. My goal is to put a story on YouTube. That's my take on it. So, any more thoughts? Any more questions? Some great things. Michael Tribble, competition with WCW brought out the absolute best in WWE. I don't dispute that, but it goes back to what Ed said. It made him hotshot. It made him burn things out. It's more the generational instant gratification that kills long storylines, but you can probably still gratify a storyline in a small time frame. Yes. Good. Excellent point, Scott Hicks. We're dealing with wrestling. We're dealing with this generational thing. My five-year-old nephew has a huge crush on Bayley. I'm 41 years old, and I got a huge crush on Bayley. She's phenomenal. I think she's a great worker, believable character. You don't question, is Bayley good or bad? You know. And I hope they never turn Bayley heel. I hope she could be the female John Cena, as my broadcast partner has said on many, many occasions. So, yeah, I mean, listen, for me, you got High Spots Network, you got WWE Network, you got Flow Slam, you got Powerbomb TV, which is launching, I think, this weekend. You got a lot of the British, a lot of English companies have streaming of their shows now. You've got the NWA On Demand that has a lot of old stuff and some new stuff. New Japan World. There are so many places to watch wrestling, and it's all different. It's all different wrestling. I don't keep up with Chikara, but just the buzz of what they just did. Scott, yes, I have seen a villain offer free hugs, and it was, you know, just a great, great whatever. Shawn Stevenson, what do I think about the Hardys Tag Team Championship Tour? Love it. One of the most exciting things I've seen in wrestling in a long time. It's going to build some bridges between promotions. It's going to give TNA some publicity. It's going to give these independent promotions some publicity. Will they end up back in WWE? I think eventually they go into the Hall of Fame. But I think if they're making money now and they're happy and they're creatively happy with what's going on, why would you go back to WWE? I mean, think about it. Think about this. It looks to me like the Hardys have total creative control of their characters right now and not killing the company. Like Senor Hogan did. So that's a pretty rare thing. So it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. You can go on YouTube, man. You can watch so much of the old Japanese stuff. You can watch. We're trying. Three Count Pro Wrestling coming up February 25th. We are doing an old school TV taping where a guy's, you know, we're going to have ringside promos. We're going to tell a story. We're going to release these episodes in bite-sized chunks where people can kind of watch them at their pleasure. I mean, we have been releasing our full shows, you know, which is like 2 hours, right? 2 hours. So I think this is going to be good. It'll be shorter than that. But again, it's going to tell a story. And what we do... Right. Hey, as I close this up, I'll get back to Mark's statement. Scott Hicks says, with Rock and Roll Express making the Hall of Fame, do you see them still doing indie shows because they love it, or they raise their premium to the point that indie shows can't afford them? Excellent. That's an excellent point, Scott. Ricky Morton told me himself, I mean, he still works because he has to. I mean, that's their income. I think they probably could raise their price, but you got to realize what you're paying for. Ed's 100% right. Hardys are in a sweet spot. They get WWE residuals, which are crazy. A TNA contract, well-paid indie dates, and control of gimmick money. I mean, to me, the Hardys are kind of in that same spot. I think people like the Hardys, the Young Bucks, AJ Styles when his time, Chris Hero in his time. Guys are showing you can make money outside of WWE. It's an exciting time to be. It's an exciting time to watch wrestling. So let me finish up with this. Obviously, you know, it's a weekly dropkick that I try to do every week where we talk. We don't talk about the most current stuff on regular episodes of the Double Dropkick Show, which you can listen to at doubledropkick.com. But right here, in about an hour, a little less than an hour, we have a patrons group. We have a patron group, patreon.com/doubledropkick. For as little as $1 a month, excuse me, you get into this patrons-only group on Facebook. And Mark Whitman has kind of moved his stuff from this group, Wrestling Grew Up With, into that patrons group. And he finds... He talks all history. He posts all the old stuff you forgot about. He went on a tear this morning, posting stuff with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. It was so much I didn't even be able to get to it all. But Mark holds out on me. He posts stuff in the patrons group he does not even tell me about. Stuff like the birth of the Great Muta, this 20-minute documentary that is crazy. So, like I said, for as little as $1 a month, you support our show, you help offset some of our production costs, you get into that group, and there's different levels, there's different rewards. Scott says, Mark is the factual professor, Heath is the theological and theoretical seed planter. I don't disagree with that. So doubledropkick.com, patreon.com/doubledropkick. We've heard a lot of things about this group. This group has grown, like I said the other night. Some people don't like change. We're trying to manage this group as best that we can. We do try to filter. We try to filter out the posts that are just ridiculous. The posts, if you're like me and you're in 10 wrestling groups, you don't need to see the same posts in all of them. You don't need to see the same meme. So we're trying to do a better job of but you have to realize too, for me, I may see, there might be 5 or 6 Kurt Hennig posts a week saying how underrated he is, and sometimes I got to remember that you guys aren't seeing all those because we don't allow them all. So we're just trying to foster great conversation, but foster conversation that is thoughtful, that where we can disagree, where we can disagree and I don't have to call you a name, I can disagree with you, I don't have to call you an idiot. The thing that I want to be different about our group is the tone of the group. That it's not just a peeing contest with each other, but that we all love wrestling. And why can't we love wrestling? And I don't want our group to be about why you hate wrestling so much and Roman Reigns sucks. Go find a group about Roman Reigns and say he sucks there. I mean, that's my take on it. But, you know, I love what we're doing, man. Mark and I are having just a blast doing this. And next week, we start the Ultimate Tag Team Tournament. I encourage you, man, go back. We've had a lot of comments on our Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. And the tag team one starts next week. So a lot of great stuff. So thanks for supporting the Double Dropkick Show. I'm going to be online here for a few minutes. So if you go to patreon.com/doubledropkick in the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get in to hear Mark's, his Carrie's Corner, which is just questions from that patrons group. And it's all old school stuff. Today, he's talking about jobbers, which is a question we get all the time. And I'm not going to tell you what else he's talking about, but it's going to be awesome. So you got just a few minutes to become a patron, and I can add you to that group. So thank you all for your support. Thanks to everybody who commented. Thanks for everybody just participating. I'm loving this. I really enjoy it. And heading down to see some independent wrestling tomorrow. Death Dealer should be in the tournament wild card bracket. I'll allow that. I'm not going to give Mark creative control over his own tag team, but we'll see what happens. So, hey, I hope everybody has a great weekend. I hope if you're able to, go see some good independent wrestling. Support these guys. Have fun with it. Take your kids. Yell, scream, do all that good stuff. But for the weekly dropkick, I'm Heath Mulliken, and we'll see you soon.